ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। From Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 27, Attack by Chandravega on the City of Paranjana, Text Number 20. Durabhagyanatmanoloke. Durbhagyanatmanoloke Vishuta dubhagyati saham Vishuta dubhagyati saham Yatushta rajase dutum Yatushta rajase yetum Vritadat purve varam Vritadat purve varam Dhirbhagyanatmano loke Vishruta dubhagyati saha Satushta rajariste yetu Vitadat purve varam Durbhagyanatmano loke Vishruta dubhagyati saha Yatushta rajase yato Vitadat purve varam on account of misfortune, Atmana of herself, Loke in the world, Vishruta celebrated, Durbhaga most unfortunate, Iti thus, Sa she, Ya.
Who?
Tushta. Being satisfied. Raja Rishaye. Unto the great king. To. But. Vita. Being accepted. Adat. Delivered. Purave. Unto King Puru. Varam. Benediction. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The daughter of time, Jara, was very unfortunate. Consequently, she was known as Durbhaga, ill-fated. However, she was once pleased with a great king, and because that king accepted her, she granted him a great benediction. Please repeat responsibly. The daughter of time, Jara, was very unfortunate. Consequently, she was known as Durbhaga, ill-fated. However, she was once pleased with a great king. And because the king accepted her, she granted him a great benediction. Purport. As Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, Sava Sukha Bhagala, all kinds of happiness disappear in old age. Consequently, no one likes old age or Jara. Thus Jara, as the daughter of time, is known as a most unfortunate daughter. She was, however, at one time accepted by a great king, Yayati. Yayati was cursed by his father-in-law, Sukracharya, to accept her. When Sukracharya's daughter was married to King Yayati, one of her friends named Samishta went with her. Later, King Yayati became very much attracted to Samishta, and Sukracharya's daughter complained to her father. Consequently, Sukracharya cursed King Yayati to become prematurely old. King Yayati had 5 youthful sons, and he begged all of his sons to exchange their youth for his old age. No one agreed except the youngest son, whose name was Puru. Upon accepting Yayati's old age, Puru was given the kingdom. It is said that 2 of Yayati's other sons, being disobedient to their father, were given kingdoms outside of India, most probably Turkey and Greece. The purport is that one can accumulate wealth and all kinds of material opulences, but during old age one cannot enjoy them. Although Puru attained his father's kingdom, he could not enjoy all of the opulence, for he had sacrificed his youth. One should not wait for old age in order to become Krishna conscious. Due to the invalidity of old age, one cannot make progress in Krishna consciousness, however opulent he may be materially. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Om Agyanati Mirandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chaksho Malitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Panchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Shindo Bhayavacha Patitanam Bhavinibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Hare Krishna. So, interesting topic. It's been going on for some time. Many, many births. It's been going on for many, many births, the same topic. We're forced to face again and again the reality of our birth in this material world, isn't it? I was born in the darkest of ignorance, isn't it? The spiritual master is coming with a torchlight of spiritual knowledge, and he's forcing open our eyes with a torchlight of spiritual wisdom. So from Prabhupada's grace, from the grace of Guru and Gauranga, we have Srimad Bhagavatam. Many the stories are there talking about this particular disease. We hear it repeated again and again because it's not so easy. The knowledge of this topic is easy to catch, but the Vigyan in this age of Kali, we also need to experience. Unfortunately, we're second class learners. So, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna quotes Kaloshmi Loka Kshriya, that I am time. Krishna says, I am time, isn't it? Devouring all worlds. Time I am, devouring all the worlds. Krishna says, I am that time. So we can't escape Krishna. Even we're serving his Bahuranga, inferior energy, we're forced by time. Time and tide wait for no man, a common saying. So Prahlad Maharaj, in the story of Prahlad Maharaj of Srimad Bhagavatam, he is telling the young boys from very young age, when they want to play ball, they want to play games, then he's telling them, don't waste your time. Then he gives a breakdown of time. And he gives us some very hard realities. And that if we live for 100 years, well, in the age of Kali, there's not so many living for 100 years. But in the Bhagavatam, it's explaining, if we live for 100 years, Prahlad Maharaj says, then 50 years of that we spend in sleep, or at least 30. We may not sleep 12 hours, but materialists may be more than devotees. So 50 years out of the 100, or 30 out of the 100 is gone already in sleep. Then he gives another, he points to the point that in youth, 10 years we're in anamoy, 10 years we're in the ignorance of babyhood, childhood. We learn how to walk, we learn how to eat, we learn how to talk, at least 10 years. And then another 10 years in boyhood, he was explaining to his friends, they were playing games. So there's 30 or 50, 60, 60 years gone, 70 years if you live to 100, already gone. And then old age, we have to deal a lot more with the problems of the body. It's very difficult. So Prahlad Maharaj is telling his friends, no, now is the time. Now is the time for spiritual life. Na jayate miyate vakarachin nayambutva bhavitan vanabhuya. For the soul, there is neither birth nor death at any time. He has not come into being. He does not come into being. He will not come into being. He is unborn, eternal. He is ever existing. He's primeval. He's not slain when the body is slain. So Prahlad Maharaj is preaching at a very young age. Now take to spiritual life. Get attached to the eternal, your eternal nature as a soul. And then, of course, we haven't spoken. That's just about old age, boyhood. In the middle, we also, in the age of Kali, we get entangled in our family years. For most of us who are not so advanced, we get entangled in family years, which means economic development, which means so much endeavor just for a chapati and some roof over the head, just for something to eat and something to take shelter of. There's so much endeavor. So out of 100 years, 70 gone, then the grihastha life, what to speak of? How much time do we have for spiritual life? Prahlad Maharaj says, so now he's telling the boys, don't play ball. Now get into your spiritual life. So it's very nice advice. The bewilderment of youth. Youth, we all like young things, isn't it? We all like, everyone likes the young cow, the young calf. Everyone likes the young child. We're attracted to youth. We like to see youth. It's very attractive, youngness, because the nature of the soul is the eternal. It's ever youthful. Therefore, we are attracted. We want that. We want to embrace that. We want to adore that, because that's the nature of the soul. And similarly, beauty. Beauty is another big entanglement in this material world. More example is there from the Srimad Bhagavatam of Subari Muni. He was living beneath the Jamuna, practicing severe austerities as a tapasvi, as a yogi. He was living for many years underneath the river Jamuna. And some fish came by and were uniting. Some enjoyment for family procreation was going on. And Subari Muni, even though a great yogi, he became attracted. He became agitated. Not only attracted, he became agitated by just seeing like that. And then he came out. That was enough to bring him out of the river. And he approached the king of Mathura, King Mandatta, I think his name was Mandatta Maharaj. He had 50 daughters. And he approached him. He said, I would like one daughter. Give me one of your daughters. Just give me one daughter for marriage. He was thinking, I will enjoy it, because he was looking a little bit disheveled. His hair was dripping. He had some, he's looking a bit wrinkled like a prune, wrinkled up like dried fruit. And he'd been underneath for some time, so therefore he was also in older age. Therefore, all the girls, they ran away. Nobody wanted to marry Subari Rishi. But he was a yogi, so he could practice mystical cities. So he brought back his youth. He was able to bring back his youth. And then what happened? All the girls came running back. Same girls, same person, same soul. One thing makes the girls run away. And youth and beauty, they were attracted, they all came back. So not one wanted to marry him, and then all 50 wanted to marry him. So, quite an interesting situation for a rishi. So, from contemplating the fish, then he was in this situation. And he married all of the girls, and then he begot 100 sons in each of his wives, 50 wives. I mean, it's 50,000. His family was, you know, he had a big ashram. 50,000 children he manifested. So, but after some time of trying to enjoy in this way, trying to enjoy in this capacity, he made some realization that by putting fat or ghee on the fire doesn't go down. It won't go down. You put some ghee on the fire. It may temporarily diminish, but then it really goes. So he realized he was putting ghee on the fire by enjoying in this intimate way in Grihastha life. So he then he took to Vanaprastha life. He gained salvation, actually. He took to Vanaprastha life. He again became renounced. He went to the forest. So there's a chance for us, Grihasthas. But it's an interesting thing in mathematics, you know, in the science of mathematics. Some people, they go straight through the page and they have the answer at the bottom of the page. All you see is their answer on the bottom of the page. And there's a working column. Some people don't have anything in the working column. But I was like one of those students who I had to, you know, try and work it out on the column on the side. You know, try and have a practice, see if it worked, rub it out, sometimes cross it out. A lot of workings there in Grihastha life. Some people, brahmachari, or they manage to go through life very good. They get a pass. But also, if you have the right answer at the bottom of the page, then you also get a pass. However you make realization, whether that's by Nivriti Marg or Pravriti Marg, by engaging in material activities in the service of Krishna, or whether one negates in a single ashram. If the answer is there at the bottom of the page, the question is not about ashram, it's about realization. So, in the case of Subari Muni, he's like many of us, we have to experience that the fire is hot. Realized knowledge, vigyan. One of his mistakes, they say, he is described by Vishnavath Chakravarti Thakur, that the reason he fell was because of his offenses. This is an interesting topic because we are harassed. We're all harassed by the desire to enjoy with this material body. But for Subari Muni, one of his, it's described, he committed offense to Garuda. Because Garuda was, his natural foodstuffs for Garuda was to eat fish. He's such a bird. Transcendental bird. Devotee of Krishna, of course. Krishna's Viman, Vishnu Viman. But he was wishing to take fish where Subari Muni was meditating. But Subari Muni committed offense by not allowing him to partake in his natural diet. So for that offense, he underwent so much difficulty. So we have to look into our heart and see why are we experiencing agitation in this world? Why are we being harassed in this body? Maybe we have to look beyond just trying to control the material nature ourselves to seeing how we are acting in such a way which attracts Krishna's mercy. Or by Vaishnava Aparad, we can be attacked by lust. Many ways, Devi can bring us down to a lower platform. So we have to really watch how we act in the association of devotees. Because we see also in our own fold, our own association, sometimes accidents happen on the royal road. We're not above accident, but we have to look into why that is. We have to question. We have to be very careful in treading the path, narrow path of Krishna consciousness. So that's Subari Muni. Then I wanted to say something about this pastime, which is mentioned by Srila Prabhupada, how Maharaj Yayati, he accepted this Jada, the daughter of time. It's described by Prabhupada in this purport, that he accepted a wife. There were two girls, the story I'll tell briefly. There were two girls, Devayani and Samishta. One was a Brahmin, Devayani, and Samishta was a Kshatriya girl. And they were bathing in a beautiful pond in the forest and enjoying in that way. And this is in Srimad Bhagavatam. And Lord Shiva came along and they left their clothing on the side, as women do in India. In holy places, even not so much now, but before. So they were bathing like that, and then Lord Shiva came with Parvati riding on his bull, and they scrambled for their clothes, thinking this is not correct. So in front of Lord Shiva, so in scrambling for the clothes, Devayani, Samishta, the Kshatriya girl from a Kshatriya family, she took hold of the clothes of Devayani and put them on. So there was confusion over whose sari or whose dress was whose. So they had a fight. A fight went on. And of course, the Devayani, she said to Samishta, "Oh, you're like a low class, you know, you're just stealing like a dog stealing ghee from the fire." She was a Brahmin girl, but she got agitated and, you know, it was a fight going on. Like sometimes you see girls and boys in this age of Kali fighting. So, and then Samishta, she retaliated and said, "Well, you're like a crow," because she was from a Kshatriya family. She said, your family of Brahmins, you're living in under the shelter of my father, the king, Rishabhava. Your father, her father was Sukracharya, Devayani, and the father of Samishta was Rishabhava. And so he was a king and he was giving shelter to the Brahmins. So Sukracharya he was a Brahmin, so she said, you're like crows. You're just living off of it. So there was a fight went on. And then so Devayani, Sumishta got very angry, more angry than Devayani. She's a Kshatriya. So she picked her up and threw her in the well. Threw her in a dark well. And so one day, King Yayati, he was chosen by Providence to be passing by while he's hunting. And he comes to the well. And in the well is this girl, young Brahmin girl with no clothes on. So, and she was crying for help. So he helps her get out of the well. And of course, he's not beyond. So he was a little bit attracted to her beauty. And even though she was from a Kshatriya family, he was a Brahmin. This is not considered the proper system in the Vaishnava culture. It's called Aniloma Pratiloma marriage. So normally a Brahmin girl will marry a Brahmin boy from a similar qualification, knowledge like that, similar family. But here we see that the king, he was a Kshatriya, and so his wife was, he took Devayani as a wife. So he married a Brahmin girl, Kshatriya marrying a Brahmin, so he was of a lower. But he accepted because he had seen her form, and also he helped her out of the well with his hand. In India, if you take the hand of a girl, that's it. And she was attracted to him also. She was a king. She was attracted. But she still kept her anger for Sumishta. She still kept her anger. And she cursed Sumishta. She said, you will... Because she got married to that king, Yayati. She got married. But she kept her anger. And she said, but this Sumishta, she'll be my maidservant. You know, let her serve me. So Sukracharya, he went to the father of Sumishta, and he said, you know, I'm a Brahmin, you know, I'll chant some not so good mantras on you unless your daughter becomes a servant of my daughter when he marries King Yayati. So she became a servant. But being in a Purusha mood, or it's a story from Bhagavatam's Lila, King Yayati, he not only enjoyed with Devayani, he also had a proclivity to enjoy more than one. So as the kings did in ancient times in India. So he also begot sons by both girls. And Devayani, she still carried her anger and her avarice. She wasn't happy with that. So she ran back to her father, Sukracharya, and she told him, oh, he's enjoying with Sumishta, the maidservant. He's begot sons in her. There was a jealousy fight still going on. So when Sukracharya heard, he went and he cursed King Yayati. He said, you will get old age. This is where he accepts. You will accept Jara as a daughter. Old age and disease were coming. So King Yayati had to get prematurely old. But the interesting part about this story is later on, just like Subari Muni, he snapped out of it after enjoying for many years, because his youth was taken from him. But Prabhupada says in this purport that it was also given back to him, because Sukracharya thought, how will her desires be fulfilled as a young girl unless she has a young husband? You know. So he allowed Yayati, he said at the same time, he prematurely cursed him, but he said, but if you can find a young man to exchange your youth. So Yayati exchanged his youth. He tried the first of his sons, Yadu. Yadu didn't want to. He wasn't so submissive. Of course, Krishna was coming in his family. Krishna's a Yadava. So he also had some transcendental vision. He didn't accept giving his youth to his father so his father could enjoy with his wife. But one son, Puru, he accepted the youth. He accepted his youth. He gave his youth to his father. So in this way, Yayati attained, he lost his, prematurely became old, and he gained his youth by exchanging for his son. In this way, he carried on enjoying, trying to enjoy. This is that term. we have to get used to in this material world. We try to enjoy, but it's not possible. It's chewing the chewed, isn't it? So again, same thing came up for him as Subari Muni. After many years of enjoyment, he became disgusted with himself because he realized no matter what amount of gold, no matter what amount of power and manpower and a kingdom and wives and enjoying unlimitedly in a young man's body, even after getting old, in exchange, getting another chance at that. Then trying and trying and trying, then he realized this is like putting ghee into the fire. Same principle. So he became renounced, and he also attained liberation. And then he preached to his wife one very interesting story further on in the Bhagavatamas there. Then he preached to Devayani because she was also attached to this type of enjoyment. Then he preached to a very strong, cutting information. Janani Vas yesterday was talking about the acharyas would cut. So it's a very cutting, maybe a bit of a pun used there, you'll find out. It's a story. Yayati tells his wife about he-goat, the he-goat, she-goat story. This is a very important for us to hear this. But he-goat, she-goat. Once there was a goat, and the goat fell into the well. He's telling his wife, Maharajayati. So she becomes also renounced. He wishes to become renounced, but he also wishes her to become renounced. So he cuts at the root of her attachment. He said there was a she-goat, she fell into a well, and a he-goat came along. And he looked into the well and he saw this beautiful she-goat, and then he started digging up the ground with his hoofs, sticking his horns into the ground. You know, started to, you know, like goats do. This means he started to endeavor so she could get out easily. She could get a grip rather than sliding. So he endeavored for her. The male, we all endeavor for female company. We all endeavor by hard works, economic development. We're like a goat, isn't it? Or an ass, Prabhupada says. Hogs, dogs, camels, and asses. The hardest part about this story is it's for us. It's embarrassing, but that's our life, isn't it? So we endeavor for so many years in householder life. And so she gained the realization. She gained to him. She came out of the well. Then he enjoys with her. Goats have a strong tendency in that way. So he enjoys with her. But then she notices, oh, he's enjoying with other goats. He's telling her this. Oh, he's enjoying with so many other goats. Therefore, she becomes, you know, feels a little bit uncared for. So she says, she goes back to her previous owner, who was a Brahmin. In this case, this is the analogy of Sukaracharya. She goes back to her father and says, you know, she says to her previous owner, oh, he's enjoying in this way. Of course, she's attracted to him because he has a nice big beard and a mustache. You know, he's looking like a very powerful fellow. But when Sukaracharya, this is the cutting part, when Sukaracharya hears about this, his daughter, about his goat, which is not being looked after properly, then he cuts off the testicles of the goat, of the he-goat. This is Yayati telling his wife. He cuts off the testicles of the he-goat. Then, you know, material life's finished then, isn't it? If you take that aspect out of material life, Prabhupada says, you know, what exists here in this material world? It all culminates in that enjoying spirit. All the other enjoying capacities, family life, friendship, marriage, servitorship in this world, they're all tainted. They're all reached the crest jewel of this capacity to enjoy. Maituni, Bhav, the enjoyment of sex life in this world. So he's had his testicles taken off. By this time she's starting to make some realization. And then again, Sukaracharya, he gives life again and gives that potency back to the goat. So he tells that story to his wife, and she realizes these analogies are really good in Bhagavatam. They help us. They wake us up. Wake up. This is you. This is your life. You know. You can also become free. You know. So, like that is an interesting story from the relating to the purport. Then, of course, we can hear other stories. I wanted to finish by telling something about Markandeya Rishi. Markandeya Rishi, he attained a state of long life. We're all looking for long life, isn't it? So Markandeya Rishi, he as a child, he was his father. He desired a son. He was praying to Lord Shiva, and so Markandeya Rishi was begot out of his prayer to Lord Shiva. And a voice came and said, "Would you like a son who lives for 16 years only, but is a very good boy? He's got a tendency for spiritual life, very clean, a Brahminical natured person. Or would you like a son who lives for a long, long life? He lives for many hundreds of years, but is asuric by nature." Quite an interesting question. Mrikandu was the father of Markandeya Rishi, so he chose, give me a son who lives just for 16 years. So when Markandeya Rishi was born, he only had 16 years to live. So his parents were always very fearful. It was a short time in life, very fearful. So, and he didn't know about the curse, or not the curse, he didn't know about the stipulations of his birth. So Markandeya was born a very beautiful child. Very attractive, very effulgent. He learned the Vedas from a very young age. He was very knowledgeable, very Brahminical, very renounced. And his parents knew, so they were very nervous, especially when he came up to the age of 16, what would happen. And he didn't know. And then he found out, for some reason people were talking, and he found out that he'd only lived till 16. Then he performed severe tapasya. He performed severe tapasya. He wore the bark of trees. His hair became matted locks. And the day of his 16th birthday came, and Yamaraj came to take him away. "It's your turn now. Come on. Your turn." Yamaraj was there waiting. But he was praying to a form of Lord Shiva, Markandeya Rishi. And he was the attendants of Yamaraj, they couldn't approach him because of his tapasya. He was untouchable. He was beyond the material energy. But by performing tapasya, one can become free of this material world. Of course, our tapasya is Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. This is our tapasya. We can become free from the laws of the material energy in this world. So he grabbed a hold of the idol, the Shiva form. And Yamaraj had to come personally. Yamaraj bound him up with a rope. He also bound that form of Lord Shiva. And Yamaraj was trying to pull him. Markandeya is hanging on to the Shiva linga, not letting go. Rope was going on. Fight was going on. Yamaraj was trying to pull him. Then Lord Shiva himself came. And he said, he gave him the boon. He would never get older than 16 years. Markandeya Rishi. So he could live for 300,000 years. Live for 307 kalpas. The Sapta Rishis were there. They knew he would only live for 16 years. They were a little bit, they gave him a blessing. Each one of them said, "You can live for a millennium." You know, Vishishta, you know, all of them, they blessed him. "You can live for a millennium." So he had seven millenniums. He changed the course of history. Changed his providence, just like Prabhupada said, "You clap your hands before Radha Madhav." It's a transcendental thing. And everything changes. Even the astrology, the Jyotish will change. So he was able to live for seven millenniums. But the interesting part about this pastime is that he was floating around at one stage in Pralaya when Shiva brought about the inundation of the world. For 33,000 years there was a flood, 33,000 years of fire. How did Markandeya Rishi survive? This is really the question, and this is a transcendental topic. So one description is there, Markandeya Rishi, he came up against a tree. That tree was standing on the top of a blue mountain. A blue mountain was called Neeladri. That means Jagannath Puri. And that there was a big, like the back of a tortoise was sticking out of the ocean. And Jagannath Puri is considered like the shape of a conch. This Dhamma is the lotus. And Puri is the conch, isn't it? So Puri Dhamma, the conch, was sticking up. And Markandeya Rishi, out of trying to survive in that inundation of water, he came up against this beautiful kalpa vriksha on the top of a blue mountain. And he was looking in on the northeast corner, which is the Ishan corner, Vastu. He found on a leaf, there was this beautiful child there. And he was on one of the leaves of the banyan tree, he was sucking on his toe. Markandeya Rishi, as he sucked on his toe, he also entered his abdomen. But this is the remarkable thing. This is the dham for this age, Puri dham. So by taking prasadam, one can transcend birth, death, disease, and old age. He can transcend birth, death, disease, and old age as the Puri. By taking Krishna prasad, one worships Lord Jagannath. By chanting the holy names in Mayapur, one attains salvation. So, not only in Puri, but Markandeya Rishi, he was floating around in another palaya at a different time, and he came up against another piece of land that was sticking up and surrounded in the Biraj, beautiful rivers, Ganga, Jamuna, Sarasvati was there. That is just down the road, isn't it? We know that place to be Godrumna. He took shelter of Godrumna. And Sarabi was there. And Sarabi was there with Indra. Indra was frightened because he thought, oh, I made a mistake in Braj. Don't let me make the same mistake in Sridhar Mayapur. So he came and he was chanting Hare Krishna with Sarabi. And Sarabi was underneath the tree. Go means cow and Drumna means tree. Underneath a tree that was eight, like Jananibas was talking yesterday, 8 kilometers, that tree. Of course, Markandeya Rishi, he came there to the same place as Sarabi, and Sarabi helped him out of the water. And then she told him to chant Gauranga. Gauranga! 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 By chanting, she said, by chanting the name of Gauranga, then all your sinful activities will go away. Or you will not get any gray hair. You will not get old. You will perpetually live eternally. And this is the truth, isn't it? These two places, Jagannath Puri and Sridhar Mayapur, by taking prasadam, by chanting the holy name of the Lord, we can transcend the lower realms that we're reading about. We can transcend. This is the only way for us to become free. We have to become attached to the eternal love affair in the spiritual realm of Goloka Vrindavan to become free of the lower, the reflection, the Bahuranga Shakti, to go into the Antaranga Shakti of Krishna. We have to enter the Krishna's Leela. And Markandeya Rishi also, he approaches in this way through Bal Krishna. Because he first sees Bal Krishna. By approaching Krishna book, Prabhupada's Krishna book, by approaching Bhagavatam systematically, reading Krishna book, the Bal Krishna Leela, then we destroy different demons inside ourselves. Different demons are destroyed. There's 19 or 20 different demons, 2 fire demons. So by reading about those pastimes of Bal Krishna Leela, as a naimittic leela. Naimittic leela means temporary leela. So when we become free of that each demon represents a different anatta. And the demons killed by Balaram, Pralambasura, and who else is killed by Balaram? Pralambasura is one, isn't it? And Dinakasura. They represent anattas that we have to remove ourselves. Demons killed by Krishna. And then when one becomes purified at heart, then one can enter Krishna's Nitya Leela. Nityalila means eternal pastimes. So we have our, in a material perverted reflection, we have our own naimittic lila. This temporary lila of entering this world, samsara, birth after birth after birth. But we can also enter, sometimes you read, such and such a devotee left, they enter their nityalila. We can also, the Prabhupada is giving us entry into our eternal lila. That means we can attain the soul's rightful claim of being Sat, Chit, and Ananda. Fully eternal, fully blissful, like that. So, time's up. I wanted to read two verses just quickly, just to finish, because I found them very beautiful, approaching old age. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is giving some nice verse in a book called Kalyan Kalpataru. It's called the Desire Tree, the Wish Fulfilling Tree. Very beautiful verse. It's a song actually written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the latter part of his life. It's called Realization of the Symptoms of Contrition. I am very mean and wicked. What have I done? I have whiled away the invaluable life in the thraldom of nature. I killed many a day in the matrix with ease. Boyhood passed off as per its nature. Meaninglessly sacrificed this youth to the altar of material pleasures, and at length descended the decrepitude. There lies no pleasure in matter, and the power of enjoyment is very much unfavorable. The last tooth stands, and weak in the body, life is painful, and constant dread lurks in death. Tell me, to which shall I become addicted? So long as there was strength in the body, there was no addiction to matters of enjoyment and power, and the power of enjoyment. At this the heart remains ever restive. While there was capacity in body, I did not worship Hari. What shall I do? In the impending time, fie upon this life. I did not worship the eternal wealth, the worship and worship the enemy, leaving the friend behind. Unfortunately, there was no association with the monks. Days rolled by causelessly, by earning the filthy lucre. Where did the transcendental wealth lie? Rejecting the gold, there was an addiction to the trifling pebbles. This is the symptom of an unfortunate being making an association with the mean other than Krishna, and leaving the monks behind, spending their life in utter pride of wealth. Very deep song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And then to finish this verse, Prabhupada liked so much. It's from the Mukunda Mala Stotra by King Kulashekara. Gives us a nice way to think of what is advancement. You might know this verse better than me. Krishna Twariya Padapanka Pajaranjarantam Adaiva Me Vishitu Manavradaham Jahamsa Pranaya Pranaya Samakalpa Vishtaputta Kanta Virodana Vido Smaranam Kutaste. The translation: O Lord Krishna, at this moment, let the royal swan of my mind enter the tangled stems of the lotus of your feet. How will it be possible for me to remember you at the time of death, when my throat will be choked up with mucus, bile, and air? So Kulashekara, he was a king, and he had a big kingdom in South India, and he one day he went into trance while he was sleeping, and he got a vision of Krishna. and he saw Krishna in his dream. And when he woke up, he gave away all his kingdom. He gave over his responsibilities and he took to Krishna consciousness. So these are some prayers written by him about, take me now while I'm still young, while my senses are still, while I can remember you. Because at the time of death, you know, of course Prabhupada qualifies in Bhagavad Gita. He says that even one's voice is choked with bile or mucus at the time of death, Krishna will force his way into our life. So that benediction we also have. But, this is a nice prayer by Kulashekhar Maharaj. Thank you very much for listening. Hare Krishna. Thank you for your time. Senior brothers. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhu, for your wonderful class. could you remind us who the demons Pralamba and Danakasura represent, those demons that we ourselves have to kill?
Balaram, he kills those demons, so apparently, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur and his Shikshastakam, there are things we have to remove ourselves. So I can't remember them all, but I know that Pralambasura means excessive attachment to sexual engagement and burdensome activities surrounding you know, family and like that. And Denakasura, there are different things listed. Denakasura means stubborn attachment to hard works, you know, in this world, over endeavor for mundane things which are difficult to achieve. Only these things. So really we can only remove that lust from our own heart by making the choice to turn to Krishna. So of course it's interesting, in those list of demons, in all of them practically lust comes up. They're all connected with the root in a karma, isha, krodha, isha, raja, guna, samudbhava. They're all connected with lust, you know, envy, greed, avarice. So all the demons, but particularly those two. I have some information on that if you want to have a look at later. Thank you very much. Any other points or questions? Hare Krishna.
Vaisabhari Muni didn't allow to Garuda to eat fish since he was birthed. Why?
Why he didn't?
Yeah, I mean, why he acted in such a way that he insulted him? Because as a rishi, he probably knew that birds, they are eating the fish.
Yes, because that was his ashram, I guess that was his... There is a transcendental story, I think. Does anyone else remember? There's some other connection with the story, I can't remember that fully.
I thought the fish complained to Vishwamrita that they're being eaten by Garuda and they didn't like that.
That's right.
So he made some, I don't know exactly what he did to ward off Garuda, but he made some arrangement.
Yeah, there's a past history there. Does anyone remember some other pastime behind that? I can't entirely remember. Of course, you know, the ashram of a yogi also is, to leave that place and not to create any disturbance. You know, the animals in the ashram, like tigers, would come and live in the rishis' ashrams. They weren't, even they weren't eating other animals. They would obey the shanti of the place. So within the sanctuary of his kutir under the water, the aqua kutir, then he gave the peace, some peace to the fish. Hare Krishna.
Welcome back to my abode, Prabhu.
Thank you.
You mentioned just a minute ago a benediction and also a warning that at the time of death the body and the mind will be so overcome by so many things. What is the chance of remember Krishna? But then there is this benediction you spoke about where Krishna will force his way into our minds, into the minds of his devotee. I'd like to know if that is a helpful thing for us to know, and also whether it applies to all of us, or does the benediction apply to those who are completely surrendered? And for those who are not completely surrendered, maybe they are not, because they take it easy, settling for something less than complete surrender, with the hope that, oh, Krishna will come and force his way into my mind at the time of death.
It's a bit like the story of Arjamil. Is it Arjamil calling the name of his son? There's no shortcut there. One has to have a life of devotion. Let us just read what Prabhupada says there. This is Prabhupada from his purport. The practical difficulty brought up in Kulakshetra's verse is that although it is crucial to remember Krishna at the time of death, that time also produces the greatest disruption of one's physical and mental functions. Srila Prabhupada explained that death occurs when the body becomes so painful that the soul finds it unbearable to live in the body any longer. Therefore, the paradox, at the time when one should be the most meditative, fixing your mind on Krishna and preparing to transfer ourselves to the spiritual world, we are also faced with the greatest possible distraction in the form of agonizing pain. Thus, here King Kulakshetra prays to die now in good health, and so he'll be able to absorb his mind in the thoughts of Krishna's lotus feet. The acharyas have assured us that the essence of Krishna consciousness is our lifelong devotional activities. This is the real point. Is our lifelong devotional activities and sentiments. Krishna will not disqualify or discount our accumulated devotional activities due to the last moment epileptic fit or a sudden heart failure. Nevertheless, we should always practice chanting Hare Krishna so that we will be able to pass the test in the end. So, Krishna accounts, we can't sneak into the back door by some business or by some bargaining with Krishna, isn't it? He's saying by lifelong practice of devotional life means how we've spent our life will determine the type of body we get in the next life. And if we've spent our life entirely for Krishna, then even if we do have some difficulty at the exact moment of the death, one's not disqualified. We have to. It's a good question, but we can't just lean on and think at the end Krishna's going to come out if we haven't paid for the ticket by our devotional service throughout our life, through our actions, throughout our whole lifelong, then we get that benediction. But just to wait for that to come and think, oh, you know, disease can also come as an obstacle where it can take Krishna away from us. If we haven't used our life in the service of Krishna, then we can have an unfortunate departure, which is we fall on the other side of the fence and take birth again. We have to look into the details of what's being instructed. Is that something?
Yeah. Yeah,
good question now.
Good answer.
It's from Prabhupada. Thank you very much for your time. Srila Prabhupada ki Gaurav Premanandi. Clapping's become a new thing in Mayapur. I'll clap for you.